Well, it is good to see most of you. And it's always a pleasure to be with you, brothers. No, really, all of you, I mean. It's good to be with the brothers, isn't it? So I'll try to be done here, what, by lunch? We have till lunch? Is that what it is?
It's a breakfast lunch burrito.
Breakfast lunch burrito. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that it is true. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Spirit through our faith in Christ, that we might apprehend it, that we might know the truth. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would challenge us this morning by your word. And I pray, God, that you would move in us so that we might bring you honor and glory with our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are some things in our lives that we consider optional. We don't always agree on what those optional things are, but there are some things that we think, you know what, that's just kind of optional. We're going to talk about a spiritual discipline this morning of scripture memorization and meditation. And if I was a betting man, and I am not a betting man, I would bet as much as $1 that there are some of you who consider that discipline optional. And what I hope to do this morning is to persuade you that that's a terrible idea, that this should not be an optional spiritual discipline in your life. Some of you think, you know, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll serve in a ministry. I'll read my Bible. I'll pray sometimes. I'll get in a growth group. I'll even come to a men's breakfast. But memorize scripture? Meditate on it? Optional. I just want to tell you that every spiritual discipline that you are faithful with, what you are doing is you are putting yourself in the path of God's grace and blessing. Every spiritual discipline you employ in your life faithfully puts you in the path of God's grace and blessing. And if you practice this particular discipline, it will bless you and it will fuel your spiritual life, your spiritual growth. It will lead to better worship, a better prayer life, a more joyful, encouraged, hopeful, and centered life. It will improve your fruitfulness and your effectiveness in ministry, and it will equip you for fruitful evangelism. There's a lot of promises there. When I was a new believer, the guys that I hung around with at the Ohio State University, OH, that's right, thank you, brothers. I was involved in a church, and scripture memorization was part of the DNA, part of the flow of this church. And the guys that I hung around with all were memorizing scripture. We all had memory verse cards in our pockets, and we would, you know, review them with each other and all that stuff. And I will be forever grateful for their influence in my life because it has helped me throughout my entire spiritual life. He has used that discipline in my life to change me, to grow me, to change my thinking, to incredibly enhance my ability to teach the Bible and to counsel the Bible. And my outlook on everything has changed. It has enhanced my worship, and on I can go. When God saves us, what he sets out to do is to transform our sinful hearts. That's what God is up to in your life right now. He goes to work to sanctify us, and he uses his word and he uses his spirit to transform you. He wants to completely transform not just the way you behave, but also the way that you think. Because how you think, what you think about, what you know to be true in your soul makes a massive difference in your spiritual growth. It makes a massive difference in your hope and your encouragement, your outlook on pain and suffering, your level of joy in Christ, your spiritual fruitfulness, and on. You need to understand that when you come to faith in Christ, your mind is a mess. Your mind is focused on all of the wrong things before you come to know Christ. It's focused on yourself. It's centered on yourself. and your comfort and your pleasure and your agenda. And when you come to faith in Christ, God goes to work to start changing that, to help you to think His thoughts about your life. Your mind and your heart need to be retrained toward godliness and joy and worship. Your whole worldview needs to change when you come to faith in Christ. Scripture says that God's thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts are completely different than the way you naturally think. So you need to renew your mind with God's truth. And when your mind is steeped in Scripture, when you grow in thinking God's thoughts, your heart is transformed, your motives grow more pure, your attitudes grow more godly, your behavior changes, you grow to become more like Christ. That is what God's goal is for you. But all that doesn't just happen because you love Jesus. And I can't pull out of my pocket a package of pixie dust and throw it on you guys and you guys are all magically changed. So here's a question for you. Where do your sinful thoughts and behaviors come from? They flow out of a sinful heart. In Mark 7, Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So the heart is the prime target for sanctification. The Spirit of God goes to work to start changing us from the inside out. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. And when you work on the root, you will get good fruit. So we need to read Scripture, we need to study it, we need to memorize parts of it, we need to meditate on it. And meditation, taking the word that's implanted in your mind and thinking about it and chewing on it, is a huge key to your spiritual growth. Right, Larry? It's one of the key tools in your sanctification toolbox. If you have not yet sunk portions of Scripture into your mind and your heart, the Spirit does not have much to work with when He's trying to change you from the inside out. He doesn't have much truth to bring to your mind when you need it. Jerry Bridges, in a book that he wrote called The Discipline of Grace, says this: "I am very much aware that Scripture memorization has largely fallen by the wayside in our day. But let me say as graciously but firmly as I can, we cannot effectively pursue holiness without the Word of God stored up in our minds, where it can be used by the Holy Spirit to transform us. I know it requires work, and it is sometimes discouraging when we can't recall accurately a verse that we have worked hard to memorize. The truth is, however, all forms of discipline require work." And a lot of us are kind of allergic to that word, but we should not be. We must not be if we intend to grow in Christ-likeness. But the person who perseveres in any discipline, despite the hard work and discouraging times, reaps the reward the discipline is intended to produce. I'll bet there's a whole bunch of you thinking, "You know what, Steve Sagetic? I'm no good at memorizing Scripture. I got a thick skull." Mine's thicker. Didn't we just hear that from our brother? "I have a bad memory. I'm too old now to memorize things. I don't have time for that." How many of you have thought of those things? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, but some of you did. That's good. I just took note. You know what? In almost every case, I do not buy that excuse from you. You have way more ability to memorize Scripture than you think. You sell yourself way too short. You have way more time to meditate on Scripture than you think. I heard about one guy, though, who went to his doctor. He said, "Doctor, I'm suffering from short-term memory loss. And the doctor said, how long have you been dealing with this? And he said, dealing with what? That's probably not you. So I think you have more ability than you think. The problem is far more likely that your memory is untrained. Or if you're honest, you're a bit lazy. We don't want to put in the work. But I'm going to show you how I do it. Not that it's, you know, anything terribly special, but I'm going to show you how I do it in a bit. Don Whitney asks a great question in his book, Spiritual Disciplines. You guys have that book, Spiritual Disciplines? You should have it if you don't have it. He says this, what if I gave you $1,000 for every verse you memorized in the next 7 days? Do you think your ability to memorize would improve? Probably so, right? We're going to fit that into our budget in the next year. You can do this, but it is a bit of work. And it's not as hard as you think. The Apostle Paul was big on sinking the Word of God deep in your heart. He says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of God dwell in you what? Richly. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. There's a few things I want to note about that verse. First, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's an act of your will. You have to let it dwell there. And it doesn't just go there by sticking your head on your book. This is an action on your part. This is an act of your will to place it there inside. Let it dwell in you richly. That tells me a couple things. First of all, it's an exhortation to memorize not just a couple of verses, but work on knowing a lot of Scripture. Work on knowing a lot of Scripture. Richly. And don't just learn the Scripture so that you get the words in the right order. It's like, yay, got the words in the right order. I've accomplished it. God can use that, okay? But the real key here is to let it dwell in you. Let it take up permanent residence in you. Let it soak into your soul. Let it permeate every part of who you are. Let it change you from the inside. Soak in it. Let it transform you. That's kind of what it's getting at. And that doesn't just happen by trying to get the words in the right order. I'll just say this. Left to yourself, your thoughts will be on almost anything else other than spiritual things and God's thoughts. Right? Your mind is just going to go wherever it goes. Your thoughts will automatically run to fleshly things, things of the world, mundane things of life, things you got to do on your checklist, rather than thoughts of God or godliness. Your thoughts will drift, and your spiritual life will just drift. Don Carson, professor at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, said this, people do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise. So you can think the devil's thoughts, you can think the world's thoughts, or you can think God's thoughts. So what are you thinking about during your day? What are you thinking about during your day? Pastor and author Sinclair Ferguson says, a key question for him that he asks everybody he interviews to be on his staff, he asks this question. What do you think about when you have nothing to think about? He said that is a really key question for him, for people on his staff. What do you think about when you have nothing to think about? Where does your mind wander off to generally and just kind of hang out there? Are you disciplined to take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? When you have free brain time, what do you think about? Do you think about Scripture? Brothers, our thoughts are not neutral. powerful to impact who you are. Paul Tripp said, no one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. So what are you telling yourself? What are you preaching to yourself? Your thoughts can help you and bless you and transform you through the power and work of the Spirit, or your thoughts can hurt you and discourage you, lead you to stray, cause you to doubt, lead you into sin, all kinds of things. So if that isn't enough reasons to think about memorizing and meditating, let me give you five other reasons. I could give you a lot more than five, but I'm going to give you five. Why memorize Scripture? Number one, memorize Scripture to grow in holiness. The goal of discipline in Christ, to be a disciple, is not just to learn what the teacher teaches, but to be like the teacher. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ, that you will become more like Christ. Your purpose here is to honor and glorify God. Your purpose here is to grow into Christ-likeness while you have breath. And all of us are hindered in that purpose by sin, and it weighs on us, and it's a drag on our spiritual growth. And Scripture memorization and meditation is a key discipline to target sin. Don Whitney says, the goal is not to see how many verses you can memorize. This is not a contest to see how many verses you guys can memorize, and we'll just have, like, how many of you memorize more than 100? How many of you, you know, that's not the goal. He says the goal is godliness. The goal is to memorize the Word of God so that it can transform our minds and our lives. That's the goal. And how can we do that? One way is to memorize Scripture that targets the sins that are dogging you. You have a problem with lust. You have a problem with anger. You have a problem with laziness. What are Scriptures that deal with that topic? Memorize some Scriptures on that topic. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 9 and 11, he said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a rifle shot at a particular sin. The devil wants to lie to you about the rightness or the pleasure of a particular sin, and you have memorized some Scripture on that, and you quote that back to the devil and punch him right in the face. Punch that temptation right in the face. You are lying to me. It's a transformed mind that transforms our hearts and our behavior. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. By what? By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts there. The Scriptures going into our heads, into our minds. We think about it. We chew on it. We let it transform us and renew us from the inside out. It's very hard to renew your mind if you don't soak in the Scriptures and let it change the way you think. Very hard to do that. And when you memorize key verses and you know it in your soul, the Spirit can bring it to your mind right when you need it. I can't tell you how many times God has done that for me. Don Whitney said this, a pertinent scriptural truth brought to your awareness by the Holy Spirit at just the right moment can be the weapon that makes the difference in a spiritual battle. And I'm going to suggest that you should start with some verses on who you are now in Christ. If you are a believer in Christ, who has a Bible that I could borrow? Oh, look, here's one. Thank you, brother. Just don't mark it. I'm Ed Fedor. Rob West. Oh, I know you. Nice to see you. Don't mark it up. Romans 6. Romans 6, you need to know who you are in Christ. Memorize some of these. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? We have been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. When you are tempted and the devil is saying, go for it, you're saying, I am no longer enslaved to sin. A lot of us think, you know what? I have no choice. My mind is running me down this road, and I always fall. When my mind starts going there, I always fall. Who are you in Christ? What has God given you? I am no longer a slave to this. He said, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I am dead to this sin because of Christ. I am unchained from this temptation that I've always fallen to. Start thinking about truth. Preach the truth to yourself. If you don't have it in your head, when you're tempted, you'll have no access to it. You're going to be finding, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? And you're going to say, forget it. Number two, memorize scripture to enable meditation. Meditation is such a hugely important spiritual discipline. And you can meditate on scripture when you have your Bible with you. But you don't always have your Bible with you. You don't always have ready access to it. You have your cell phone. Good, that's good. But you can't memorize scripture and meditate on scripture when you don't have the Bible with you unless you've memorized it. Right? You can't meditate on it if you haven't memorized it. If you have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, if you have memorized verses of Scripture, you have ready access to the truth so that you can meditate on it anywhere at any time. And what do we mean by meditation? It's not some kind of Eastern religion thing. Whitney defines it this way: meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. Meditation is just deep thinking about Scripture. It's chewing on it, it's repeating it, soaking in it, examining it, thinking about what it says, thinking about what it means, word by word, phrase by phrase, thinking about how it should change your thinking, how it should impact your behavior, how it should apply to your life, looking at it from different angles, pressing it deeply into your feelings, letting it encourage you, challenge you, motivate you, excite you. That's what it means, just to chew on it. Chew on it. What is this saying? What does it mean? How does it apply to my life? Thomas Watson said, the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word, doesn't that happen sometimes? You know, you get up in the morning and you have your devotional time and you open your Bible and you're like, oh, it's like, I just don't feel, it feels cold. You leave your devotional time and you just think, what did I just read? He said, the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fires of meditation. That's really when the Scripture starts to really impact us, when we fire ourselves warm ourselves at the fires of meditation. The psalmist knew that. We see that in Psalm 1. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Very few of you are even shaking your head. Yeah. This is a trap. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But what? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. On his law he meditates day and night. Why does he meditate on Scripture? Because he delights in his law. He loves the Word of God. And how often does he meditate? Day and night. Why? What's the blessing? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In everything that he does, he prospers. What a huge promise. What a glorious promise. You think about a tree. I mean, think about this. Okay, what do you do when you meditate? Okay, there's a pattern here. He's walking, he's standing, and then he finally sits in the seat of scoffers. Terrible idea. Instead, he delights in the law of God. What does that mean to delight in the Word of God? What does it mean then to meditate on it day and night? How do I do that? I got a thick skull. How do I do that? Sorry, I keep picking on you, Steve.
Okay.
And the promise, I mean, you think about a tree planted by streams of water. What a great image that is. You know, there's always, it's constantly being fed. Constantly being fed. What is it being fed by? His tree of himself is being fed by meditating day and night on the delightful Word of God. And in everything he does, he prospers. It'll help you in every area of your life. If you've memorized verses of Scripture, you can meditate on it anywhere. And you're thinking, I don't have time to do this. What am I going to do, sit in a chair? You know, think about Bible? Do you walk from here to there? You can instantly recall a verse of Scripture you're thinking about and think about it while you're walking from here to there. When you're driving in your car, when you're in the bathroom on the throne, when you're sitting in the dental chair. I remember I went to the dentist. I don't know if I told you this. I went to the dentist once. I'm sitting in the chair waiting for the dentist or whoever was going to come. And they kept coming by. There's a remote here. You can turn on the TV if you want. It's a remote here. You can turn on the TV if you want. And I'm like, I was delighting in reviewing Scripture verses. And it was feeding my soul. If I turned on the TV, what it would do? It would make me angry by whatever news is on the TV. When you're getting your hair cut, when you're standing in line. You're standing in line all the time for different stuff. What are you doing? When you're lying on your bed before you go to sleep. You have all kinds of spare brain time to meditate on Scripture. Buy up the time. Let God use it to bless you and sanctify you. Leave your cell phone in your stupid pocket. What do we do? Immediately we got a second. Oh, you know, social media, whatever, news. Leave it in your pocket. By the way, I got some sad news this morning. The guy who invented autocorrect died. May he restaurant in peace. I know, right? Leave your cell phone in your pocket. What did God tell Joshua? He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but what? But you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then what did he promise? Anybody know that verse?
Then you will make your way
prosperous, and then you will have success, right? Number three, memorize Scripture to prepare yourself for evangelism. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, all countries, all states, all neighborhoods. You are an ambassador for Christ. When God presents an opportunity for you to share the gospel, do you have gospel verses in your head that you can pull out and start and have something to share with them? God is going about saving people from judgment, and he is using you and I to do that work. And if you have a handful of gospel verses ready to share, you're ready when God opens that door. And this is really important. God uses his word to convert souls. He doesn't use your fabulous testimony. Okay? He may use it in some ways. To soften, to build a bridge, to create credibility for whatever it is that you're sharing. But God uses his word to save souls. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, right? It's the gospel that is the power of God to save. So your testimony is good. Prepare your testimony. But your testimony is not the gospel. Unless the gospel is in your testimony. Do you have basic gospel verses memorized? And on, I think, page 3, 4, maybe the fourth, whatever the page, I say, you know, some suggestions for topics you should memorize verses in. I put some basic gospel verses there. If you don't know those, you should memorize those. Number 4, memorize verses to fuel your worship. Chris Rogers spoke on the spiritual discipline of worship, expressing, you know, your praises, your adoration to the Lord, both corporately and also individually. And we looked at what Jesus taught us about worship. He said, he told the woman at the well in John 4, "The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." How does a true worshiper worship God according to Jesus? In spirit and in truth. We worship God by genuinely and sincerely expressing our praise and adoration to him in spirit and in truth, according to what is true about God. Your worship is rich to the degree that you know more about God, and you can then praise him for it and worship him for those things that are true about him. The more you know about God, the more genuinely, deeply, accurately, and joyfully you can worship God. And this is worship on your own. Now, we come here on Sunday mornings, and Josiah and the team leads us in worship, and we're very careful about what songs we pick. You know, songs that are rich in spiritual truth, accurate truth. And individually, when we worship God in our prayer time and our own singing, what do you worship God with? What do you know about God? The more you know about God, the richer your worship will be. So memorize verses about who God is, about his love and faithfulness and mercy and grace and sovereignty and holiness and beauty and majesty and glory. The more you know about these elements and more about who God is, you can worship him in truth. And number 5, memorize scripture to transform your prayers. There's an incredible promise in John 15:7. It says, Jesus said this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Isn't that an amazing promise? Now, how does this work? Think about this. If God's words abide in you, if you have stored up God's words in your mind and in your heart, you let it transform you, you let it soak and seep into your soul and change the way you think and change your outlook and change your worldview, all those things. If you allow that, if God's words abide in you, if they're living in you, then pray whatever you want. Because what you're going to want is what God wants, right? Because if you pray according to God's will, he hears you, it says in 1 John chapter 5. Isn't that amazing? The more that you abide in God, have God's word abiding in you, the more it'll change you, and the more you will pray along the lines of God's will. It'll transform your prayers. First John 5, this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So those are some reasons to memorize scripture. Well, how do you do it? It's not rocket surgery. It is not rocket surgery. Let me just tell you how I do it. So identify a passage you want to memorize, okay? And say it's Psalm 1. We looked at that already a little bit. So write it on a card, write it on paper. I think it's good to write it. I use 3x5 cards. And you can use Bible apps. I have a couple Bible apps. One's called the Bible Memory app, very cleverly named. Hey, do you guys use Bible apps for Bible memory? Which one do you use? The Bible Memory app? That's a good one. There's another one called the Remember Me app. I have that one as well. They're cool because they can quiz you. They do clever things to help you memorize the scripture. But whatever it is, write it on a card and then read it over a bunch of times. Read it over. All the way through. Bunch of times. I'm not going to give you a number. Bunch. Okay? So you have the whole thing sort of in context, you know? You're getting familiar with the flow of the thing. And then take it apart phrase by phrase. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed. I am blessed. If. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, so I walk another way, not this way. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Over and over. Or stands in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. Then add another phrase. Chew on it. Think about that phrase. What does that mean? Put it all together so that you then can say the whole thing out loud. Say the whole thing out loud again. Say the whole thing out loud again. Now take time to really chew on it and think about it. Go away from it. Think about it. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself phrase by phrase. You know, it's kind of like work. It's a little bit of labor, but it's such fruitful labor. It is such fruitful labor. It will bless you. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of water. So, I mean, other people have other techniques. Fine. But a key to this then is then have it somewhere on a card or whatever it is where you're going to be. Put it in your car. Put it on your mirror in the morning, you know, when you're getting ready. Put it on your kitchen table, you know, chew on it when you're after dinner, whatever, for dessert. And review it the next day. Review it the next day. Chew on it for a few days. You will be amazed at what you can memorize. I mean, I've memorized chapters. I mean, there are times when you just feel like this is such profitable. You'll find out how profitable this is in your life, and you'll just want to do it more. But you have to get going and start doing it. And you won't remember every word of every verse forever. So don't put that pressure on yourself. I was challenged by a guy. I can't remember his name now. I read about him. He memorizes entire books of Scripture. Okay? And he's memorized, I don't know how many, it was like dozens of books of Scripture. And I'm like, blow your mind. And I was encouraged because he said, you know what? I can't go back from 3 years ago and now quote that entire book. And I'm like, oh, good. Okay, so he's human. But you know what? You will know Scripture really, really well the more that you hide it in your heart. And God can use, you know, he'll bring back not necessarily every word, but sometimes every word. Memorize it, every word. And God can bring it back. And even if you don't have every word, he can use that principle or that thought from Scripture and bring it to your mind and encourage you and bless you and challenge you and all that through it. And then when you're talking with your friend and you're like, oh, I think I memorized a verse on that. It was in Acts chapter 4. You know, memorize the reference too. Now you can go to Acts chapter 4 and say, yeah, that's what it was. I can't tell you how many times that has been a blessing to me too, teaching the Scriptures, counseling the Scriptures. It's like somebody will ask a question, and I memorized something on that, and it was in 1 Peter 1. I love this passage in 1 Peter 1. I can't remember every word, but let's turn to it, okay? It'll bless you and benefit you. So I'll just end to let you know that I've got some suggestions on some topics if you want to memorize things. Like just the other day, I was in Corinthians, and I was thinking about, so we do not lose heart. I put that verse at the end there. I think sometimes the most effective way to do this is that in your devotional time, God impresses a verse or two or three on you, and you just put it on a card and just start memorizing it. Because it's in the context and the flow of how God is ministering to your soul. Sometimes that's the verse I should memorize right now because it really ministered to me. It doesn't happen every day, but a lot of times you'll find, you know, God will just say, this is encouraging for you. So we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, right? Amen, brothers? Our inner self is being renewed day by day. It says, for light, this light momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. We keep, as we look, we're looking. How are we doing that? Because we're meditating on Scripture. That's what's going to renew us day by day. Thinking about the encouraging thoughts about our salvation, about our coming inheritance, all that stuff. God will use this in your life. And then a couple of handy websites that have verse suggestions on topics to memorize. And then I love these 8 things that John Piper said about memorizing Scripture. I could easily have just played a video and just said, just watch this. This is good. This is really good. He has it comes out of a message he wrote on that he preached on this topic. But just go through those things too. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it is powerful and effective. Thank you, Lord, that you use it. It's like a double-edged sword, piercing our souls. That you use your word like a mirror. I pray, God, that we would not just look in the mirror and then walk away and forget what we look like. I pray that we would commit Scripture to memory. Help us, Lord Jesus, in our weakness. Our flesh is weak. We are willing, but we are weak. We need grace to do this for your honor, for your glory, for transformation. Use your word, Lord, in our hearts to transform us from the inside out, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.